Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trimmers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're the birthday boy.
It's my birthday.
We're brothers, we read comics.
I'm 21 again.
Oh my goodness. Such a good age.
Dude, I'm going to be 28. I am unk, dude.
Is your 7th annual 21st birthday?
Semi-annual, yeah.
We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Iron Fist, the Living Weapon.
Yes, sir.
We got Pac-Man Matters in the pull list, but we start with the news. Nathan, I need you to send your half for the Superman number one that we purchased.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we split it.
Yeah. We won at $7.6 million.
A bargain, really.
Yeah, but there's the fucking auctioneers or whatever get like a portion or something. So
why? Because they damn talk fast?
Yeah, I guess.
I can talk fast.
And the, you know, insurance, and they get the buyers and whatnot.
Mm.
So the final ticket price is $9.12 million.
Wait, that's tacked onto the seven? Whoa.
It's like a buyer's premium or something is what they call it.
That's crazy. It's not like a Amazon thing where they just like
free shipping.
Not that 2-day shipping. No, I figured like of the sale they take like 20%. But no, you're saying we bought the thing and then we paid $2 million?
Yeah.
Because some dude talked fast?
Yep.
That's crazy.
They probably should have just started.
With that included?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, like it should be a flat fee, you know?
Yeah, that's what I would think. You know, I would charge like only like $500,000 to do that. Maybe we should undercut the money laundering going on, probably.
Get in the biz.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I didn't expect it to get that high.
Yeah, I thought it'd be around like the sixes or something.
I was thinking like fours.
Because, what did I say?
Because it's not an action comics necessarily, but it is still a pretty early book in its history. The first ever Superman number one.
Yeah, there's a 8.0 that went for 5.3, and then
this one,
Action Comics number one went for $6 million. This went for more than Action Comics number one at 8.5.
Same rating?
No, the Action Comics was 8.5, and this was a 9.0.
Oh, okay. Damn, so, I guess that's...
have you seen the pictures of it?
It looks good.
It looks very good.
Like that. Looks
I'm like, it's fake.
I'm like, that's a facsimile.
Yeah.
They all got scammed.
Bunch of chumps already.
Colors are bright, dude. So I don't know. I gotta start storing comics in my attic.
It is pretty crazy, yeah.
What attic was that? Where
San
did they
Francisco?
Find it? What?
Yeah.
Isn't that humid as shit over there?
You probably get some humidity, yeah, but I feel like and like rain and shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Rain. They got a lot going on over there.
But maybe it was well insulated or something.
Yeah, I guess so. They don't build houses like that anymore.
Yeah, I think people in the north have like attics that people are easily to get into, you know. For us, it's like strange. You gotta make a day out of it, you know.
Yeah. Dude,
you gotta pop out a ceiling
tile. I looked
into
my attic for the first time.
You have an attic? I guess I never really thought about it.
Yeah, well, like the shit was leaking out of it. And so I was like, I gotta go up there, and I don't have a ladder that does that, so I just stand on top of like my 5-foot ladder, like on the top of it. And I'm like, I'm OSHA 10 certified, and they would have a fucking fit if I was working.
You're OSHA certified?
I'm OSHA 10 certified, yeah.
Why?
Because I had to for my last job.
Oh. That's weird.
Yeah.
Did you go in the attic?
That's like OSHA.
Like, did you walk around?
No, but I like put half my body up there. I could have gotten up there if I wanted to.
Like getting back down onto the top of your ladder would be so sketchy.
It would have looked really funny if I set up a camera and you just see like my little feet dangling trying to reach
down.
I was putting up Christmas lights this week and I was like I had my slides on and the lights were like a little bit too far away, like behind me. And so I like stood on one leg and like wrapped my other leg around the lights to like bring them towards me. And I was like, if I fucking fell right now, it would have been all of my work would have been undone. I would have taken out all the lights. It would have been bad.
You're like hanging by your leg.
Yeah. Anyway, what news we got, Daniel?
Ooh, I thought this is funny. There's a new Muppets comic book coming out.
Oh yeah,
the Muppets Noir.
Muppets
Nathan?
Noir, dude.
Did Did you see the Declan Shelby cover?
Oh my god, I'm getting 100 of those. It looks so good. Like, it's so funny because the hat is just like on top of Kermit's head. It's not really like,
you didn't know what to do about
he's
that.
Not wearing that. I wouldn't know what to do either. Cover of the year. If the Eisners did that, this would sweep.
Yeah. Well, they have the cover artist award.
But not a singular cover of the year.
Yeah, that's
can you
true.
Imagine how hard that would be?
Yeah, like, impossible.
But not this year, because it would be the Muppets Noir. Yeah, I think that's sick. I don't know what noir, like, if it's going to be murder, you know?
Like, what? Like a Muppet murder?
Yeah, what is he doing? Is he like a PI or something?
Probably. I don't know. I didn't look into it.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Just use your imagination and buy it.
I'm getting it.
That's coming out February 18th by Roger Langridge, who's writing and drawing.
There's going to be a new TMNT reboot from the Sonic producer.
What? Like movie?
Yeah, like live action movie.
Oh.
I guess the animated stuff is still going on and in production, but they wanted to Sonicify the TMNT universe.
So they're going to be animated?
They're going to be like animated in like a live action movie.
Okay.
So
like the last
ones. The last ones.
Okay.
Except more cartoony, I think. So, because if they want to Sonicify it, then they take out the, what was the director's name?
It wasn't Michael Bay, but he was like a producer. He's a big producer.
So they're going to un-Michael Bay it, I think.
Yeah, make it all look, they look scaly and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll watch
it. We'll see. You sound so excited. Yeah, I'll watch it because Sophie's a big fan of TMNT, but.
Yeah, I just think all animated all the time is good.
I think that was great. I really enjoyed the last one, so.
The comic Grimm by Stephanie Phillips.
Yep.
Is getting a Netflix show, apparently.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
From the creators of Wednesday. The Netflix show they're adapting this, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Big year for Stephanie Phillips.
Definitely. That's a good book. I read like the first issue, like kind of scoping for stuff.
Really?
And I'm like, all right, this has fucking legs.
I didn't realize that the artist was Flaviano. I've been collecting his variants in Marvel Snap.
Really? Yeah,
he's got the best stuff on
there.
He's
super good. It fits really well for that book. Mm-hmm.
And he's got a fun name, which also helps.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. You know, we got Dani Moonstar is going to be getting her first ever solo series. Moonstar, the X-Men. Are you familiar? She's got a bow and arrow.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
It's going to be written by Ashley Allen, who did the, I think, most recent Magic series, and art by Eduardo Audino, who I'm not familiar with.
What's her X-Men power?
She, like, I think the bow and arrow is the power, because it's like a glowy bow and arrow. I don't know.
Is it like a construct?
Kind of. Like a glowy bow and arrow, I want to say.
Cool.
But she's also good with animals, I think. I don't know, to be honest.
Okay. Who's that character? Like
Moonstar. Dani Moonstar. Which I think was in New X-Men.
Like Grant Morrison?
No. Sorry. The Chris Claremont. That was New X-Men, I think. Sorry, New Mutants. She's in the one that we read, which was not the very good one. It was just like the most recent one.
Wait, she was in something?
She was in the New Mutants. New Mutants. Book.
Yeah. Chris Claremont, 1982. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like.
So I don't really know her powers. I think she was in that book that we read that wasn't the Chris Claremont, Bill Sienkiewicz one, but she was in there.
I guess she was in like the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really remember that movie, but.
Yeah, me neither. Kind of a fever dream, that movie.
If that came out recently, I'd be like, so the native person has this bow and arrow powers? Like, it's like, okay.
I think there's some animal powers. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, that's cool.
We have a big crossover of characters, Daniel. It's Jeff meets Daredevil number one coming out in February.
Is that even a crossover?
No. For me, it is.
It's a team-up book.
It's a team-up book. Okay, yeah, good.
Marvel team-up?
It's a Marvel team-up book. Jeff the Land Shark and Daredevil. Written by Kelly Thompson with art by Guri Huru. So they got the best and brightest.
How long are we going to do this?
Forever. Dude.
It's got to be done this year.
It's literally the best original character Marvel's made in the last 5 years. If it was even 5 years ago. Hold on, let me see.
Do I even remember any? I don't even know. What about the Gold Goblin, Nathan?
The Gold Goblin. That's a close second, let me tell you. I wonder how much that first appeared. Well, actually, it was a digital comic, wasn't it?
I think they printed it, but...
Well, okay. So technically, he first appeared in West Coast Avengers, number 6. But there was a bunch of land sharks, and one of them was named Jeff. I like just randomly got named Jeff. So it was kind of like a older version. But yeah, 2018. So in the last 10 years. Okay. Also, there's a new Moon Knight number 1. Mark Spector Moon Knight number 1 by the same writer who's been on it for like last couple years.
It's called
years.
Mark Spector Moon Knight?
Mark Spector colon Moon Knight number 1.
Are there other Moon Knights?
No.
Because like when they have like Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because there's like 5.
There's not really like a recurring cast of Moon Knight like that.
Right.
Or a rotating cast, I should say.
Other than like...
I think there was just an older series called Mark Spector Moon Knight. And so they're like just using that branding.
What was the one in more. Marvel Zombies? It's like Blade Knight or something? Or Moonblade?
Moonblade, I think. I don't know. It's kind of a fun design, I guess.
Short.
I watched 2 episodes of that and then fell asleep during each one, I think.
Is there only 3?
Is there?
I mean, it might be 4. Anyway. Nathan, 5 Gears in Reverse.
A car book. A book about cars.
That is the new Brubaker and Phillips book coming out.
It's about cars and they do crimes in them?
No, there is crime though, because it is a criminal book.
Whoa, okay. Is there cars?
Perhaps.
Do they do crimes in the cars? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Yeah, Fast and Furious.
Let's go.
They're shaking.
They're stealing PlayStations or whatever.
That'll be coming out May 20th. It's in the criminal universe, but it's advertised as a good jumping on point. So it should be more standalone, maybe. Perhaps the knives was a little too in the continuity. Yeah. I will get to it eventually when the time is right. I've read all the other ones, the other 9 trades or whatever. But that's cool. Looks good.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Always a good thing. Nathan, you like a long title?
Yes, I do.
How about the Florida Hippopotamus Cocaine Massacre?
Only 5 words. Could be longer.
But like a lot of letters.
A lot of syllables. A lot of syllables. I'll give them that.
They spelled out. Yeah.
Florida Hippopotamus Cocaine Massacre.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That is a bit of a mouthful. I'll give it to him.
Mm-hmm. Say that 5 times fast. You know.
I can't even remember it.
It's a 4-issue miniseries coming from Mad Cave, I think.
Okay.
Coming out the same day as Muppets Noir. February 18th. Yeah. Big week.
I'm going to look insane buying comics that week. You got Muppets, you got cocaine hippopotami.
Yeah.
Hippopotamuses.
No, that's a female.
Hippi. Imagine they shorten it that much.
Hippopotami.
Dude, I actually don't know. That sounds wrong and right. I'm not going to look it up.
Anyway, what book did we read this week? What book did you pick this week for your birthday episode?
This is my birthday episode, which also is Daniel Torture Week.
Yeah.
We read Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, which was written and drawn and colored and everything, I think, by Kerry Andrews. I think it was everything. Hold on. Kerry Kyle Andrews. He's got 3 names. Put them all in there.
Joe Caramanga Magna did letters.
Yep.
But yeah, it looks like everything else.
So I picked this because I remember when I was first reading comics, I was like, I like Iron Fist. Let me read some Iron Fist stuff. And I read the Ed Brubaker, Matt Fraction stuff. And I was like, this is peak. I didn't even know who David Aja was. But I was like, this is cool. Give me more. And I read this and I was a little bit scared. I was like, what the fuck is this? I don't know what's going on. And so I left it. And then I, over the years since then, I've gained an appreciation for Kerry Andrews' art style. And so I'm like, maybe we should read this. It'll either be really bad and I'll still hate it, or I'll really love it. And after rereading it, it's somewhere in between there. I like it more for different reasons and I hate it more for different reasons. So it's a very polarizing book, I would say.
It's not the best Iron Fist book we've read.
It's not.
It's also not the worst.
It's not. So, we're in the middle of the road.
Yeah, I wasn't like that uncomfortable reading it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
There's just crazy shit that happens that you don't expect, I think.
It's digestible and it's like formatted a little weird.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of flashbacks, which kind of help with like the pacing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the art style is kind of what you stay for, you know?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of really creative like compositions that he's working with, and he's putting panels inside of letters, you know what I mean? So there's fun creative stuff like that that he's doing, and he's a very just insane artist, I think.
Does like, it feel like, yeah, art is insane, I didn't mean to cut you off, but does it feel like someone like briefly explained Iron Fist to a person and then he just went with it?
I think what happened was he was like, I want to do something like balls to the wall crazy and about a guy who just like fights the craziest shit. And they're like, we have Iron Fist. Here's vaguely what.
No one wants to do this. Do you want to do
it? Yeah, there's nobody on Iron Fist right now, and he could punch some people. And he's like, okay, I'll take it. And then someone just like probably told him the elevator pitch of his origin story, and then he runs with that. But what I do appreciate about Cary Andrews is that he's pretty honest about how kind of fucked up his origin is.
Yeah.
Like, every other origin is like, it's like sad or whatever, but when you really kind of dissect what that whole origin is, it's a lot darker.
Yeah. I think, than, it's like honest.
Yeah.
I was reading it, I'm like,
and it could
do be, I not know his origin?
It could be more twisted. Yeah. His origin is like so complicated, which is one of the reasons why I love it.
Is it this?
Is this?
He's right. Okay.
Yeah. All of this was like what happened.
I was like, is he taking his own spin on it? Or what?
Yeah. As far as I understand, they do this in the show too. All of this. Except for the
that was so long ago.
Yeah,
that was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah,
for me.
And I thought the first half of the first season is bad, but it actually shapes up towards the end. That's my Netflix Iron Fist opinion. Not
more around episode 16.
No, there's only 13 episodes
a season.
Yeah, I thought so.
13's still way too many.
13's yeah, 7 hours of like kind of bullshit just to get to. You know, 6 hours are pretty good.
I barely watched 7 hours of commercial-free football.
Fair enough.
I even think like 10's too many. 8's the sweet spot, I think.
They were really pumping
six
out.
I respect.
Those Netflix seasons were too long, I'll say it. Even yeah. Some of the Daredevil seasons, I'm like, okay, come on.
Nah, all peak.
I mean, it's all peak, but it could have been a much stronger 10. You know what I mean?
Nah. I'd prefer more.
I rewatched it recently.
That's true. I haven't rewatched it since it came out.
But I think if you rewatched it,
I'm just fond of it, you know. So
yeah, I it was an interesting rewatch because the season that I remember loving the best was the Punisher season two, and rewatching it, I'm like, season one and three are like insane.
I thought three kind of dragged near the end.
Three does drag a little bit, but it's
still solid.
It's needed, I think, to get some of the impact.
The dragging is good.
The dragging is good. Yeah, but anyway, let's get into this, Daniel. So. Iron Fist, the living weapon. Number one, it starts with the tragic backstory of Danny Rand being taken to the Himalayas by his parents, chasing after his father Wendell's obsession with finding Kunlun, the immortal city. And when Harold, his business partner, tries to save everybody, he shoots a flare in the air, but it causes an avalanche. And then in the present, billionaire CEO of Rand Corp, Danny Rand, is already the Iron Fist, and during a one-night stand that he's having, he's attacked by a group of undead cybernetic ninjas. And the ninja, he like jumps out of his apartment. There's like helicopters and shit. He's fighting them all there. And the ninjas are trying to stop a young girl from delivering the message to get back to Kunlun, which she manages to tell Danny before getting shot in the back with a bunch of arrows. So, insane start.
Yeah. Definitely very promising.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so.
I'm like, here we go.
I love when he gets up from his one night stand and starts practicing kung fu. It's like the middle of the night.
I thought that might have been, I don't know. Like, I didn't, for some reason, I didn't think that was happening because it's like these white silhouettes and stuff.
Yeah. He's like thinking about kung fu, but no, he's like there. That's definitely the woman, Brenda, like asleep in bed. And he's like, I got to practice kung fu.
So it's not just me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We all do this.
Dude, I open this up. I go to page one. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it is. It gets a little yappy at points.
I like the lettering in that's going on for like the sound effects that are like constantly in the background.
Yeah, he's great.
That's fun. It's very like, it looks almost like a movie poster kind of thing.
And if it wasn't Cary like lettering this, it's cool that his letterer or like the letterer for this book was also getting like pretty creative and kind of stretching the medium a bit.
I imagine.
Like some of this,
since a lot of them are panels that Cary Andrews probably did that.
Bit. Yeah, there's some that are like the word death comes up every issue and it's kind of like hidden. But in here, it's like kind of behind a lot of word balloons and stuff.
Yeah.
But that one, I imagine he drew in. But yeah.
Right.
But it's very seamless because it's all very unique.
The coloring is different in the flashbacks, which looks really cool.
That's great. And they make it look kind of like an old
page. Paper.
Old paper. It's like kind of crumpled a little bit and there's like a fade on it.
Dude, he's like getting laid, his girl's on him, and he's so pissed about it.
I know,
he's like, I'm like, come on, lighten up a little bit. It'd be funny if he is, because it's like three pissed off panels.
Yeah,
it'd be funny if he was like smiling in the middle and then back to pissed off.
He's like, I'm brooding again.
It's like, that's over.
Yeah. That's how you know that he's pissed off.
I like how Carrie Andrews draws traps.
Dude, yeah. What is that?
Just very like Mike Mignola. Like,
imagine if he didn't. Yeah, it is very Mike Mignola. Imagine if he didn't have big traps. How big would his neck be?
Insanely long.
That's a, yeah, some crazy draft neck.
Why is the Iron Fist tattoo that color? It's like brown.
I've seen it be brown a couple times. I've seen it be black.
Don't like it.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny because it looks like a scar in this. But in other iterations, it's like a brand slash a tattoo type thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
So he jumps out of this window and then he's like running on, I don't know, other buildings or his building, yeah, or whatever.
I think he had like this page in his mind when he was like, I want to do something crazy, you know, like this. And so he just.
And then at one point he's like jumping. He like makes a helicopter explode. Then he jumps towards like another building and then like grabs like the window pane or something.
Yeah.
And his like fist isn't even like fired up. So his like bare hands just grabbing broken glass and metal. And I'm like, come on.
Oh, you would prefer if his hands lit up a little bit to do that?
I prefer that there's just some random window cleaning like set up there, you know, okay, that he grabbed onto.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a big, there's like the boss zombie cybernetic ninja.
Yeah.
And
boy.
He's got like fist erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, he can't.
He says crappity crap. That's funny.
It is kind of funny. What's interesting is that this doesn't happen again. He doesn't have.
Yeah, it's not like it was starting up.
Fist problems. I think he just.
I'm glad because that's so annoying.
Yeah, it is. It is annoying.
Like every. Because
that was the problem with,
about this.
That was the problem with the Netflix series is that
he couldn't
fist when he needed to
and
fist.
And that seemed like a budget thing. You know?
Yeah, totally. That's probably what they were working around. But here, it's like, it happens this one time. I think there is technically a reason, because there's something happening at the same time in Kunlun, but...
Right.
Yeah, I'm just glad it didn't have problems after this.
I like that he keeps getting his date's name wrong.
He does.
He's like, Debbie, run! He's like, it's Brenda!
And he's like, go, Linda! Yeah, that is a recurring bit in this, which is fun. Which also doesn't make sense, because there's a issue later where they have, like, pretty... in-depth conversation, so it's
right.
Not like,
and it's supposed to be placed like before this part.
Yeah, it's placed like right before that. So, I think one of the things that put me off this book is that he is like super brooding and kind of pissed off in this, and I prefer like the sort of Zen monk kind of personality that he normally has. So it's definitely a different approach in this. It feels like if Frank Miller did Iron Fist.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Which I'm open to that interpretation, but. I think when I was reading it, I was like, this is what Iron Fist is.
Yeah.
So then issue two, we go to yesterday in Kunlun. They're doing the ritual death of Shu Lao, which is the dragon that grants chi to Kunlun and the Iron Fist.
It's Shu Lao?
Shu Lao, I think.
Is that Sha Lao?
I don't know. I don't even know if it's Kunlun. I used to say Kunlun. And then the show came out, I think.
Then they're like...
I think it's Shu Lao.
Then they're like, Kunlun. I'm like, what do you mean? It looks like it rhymes.
It's a Namor thing. Namor type thing. I think it's Shu Lao.
I don't like that.
I can look up... Do you think pronunciation.com has it?
Say how they... Look up how they say it in the show.
Shu Lao. Pronunciation.
I guess it can be like a real name. Shu Lao.
Shu Lao.
I like that better.
Okay, I like that. Happy medium.
It's close to Shaolin.
That's also interesting. So yeah, the dragon's dying for some reason and it's planned. But Davos tries to steal a glowing egg thing, but his sister Sparrow protects it and tells Pei, who's the little girl from the last issue, to run. So she takes the egg and runs.
I totally missed that somehow.
Yeah, this part's a little bit confusing, to be honest. But also at this time, helicopters with undead ninjas show up to Kunlun. And confront Lei Kung, who's the UT now. He's not the Thunderer anymore. I know you don't know what that means, but...
UT's probably like the, you know, the...
UT's like
the
leader
of
Kunlun. And then there's the Thunderer, who...
He's the trainer.
Lei Kung used to be. He is the trainer. Yeah. Okay, so you do get it.
Context?
He's like Kilowog.
That doesn't help.
Okay, never mind. back up.
So you're saying Kilowog's the Thunderer. That's how
Kilowog's kind of like the Thunderer of the Green Lanterns, yeah.
Thunder, cool title.
Thunderer is a great title. Lei Kung the Thunderer, I'm like, fuck yeah, I love Iron Fist comics.
How the fuck does like helicopters find Kunlun?
No idea. I think it's because
I thought you had to like stumble and then almost die and then you get saved by them.
I think they know where the fucking entry point is, and so they had some helicopters go in there.
Okay.
Cause yeah. So there's a big hooded ninja that's leading them, and they confront Lei Kung. And then in the origin, Danny's mom dies to a pack of wolves. And in the present, Danny makes his way back to Kunlun to find it in flames because he wasn't there when the ninja showed up in the helicopters. So now it's all fucked up.
Do they eat the dragon?
They killed it. What do you mean eat it?
I think they eat it.
Who eats it? I think it's just dead and they chopped off his head. Look, it's in the last page.
I think they eat it. Hold on.
What do you... It's right there. It's not eaten, clearly.
We consume the beast and feed on its chi. The one power.
Who says that?
Big guy?
Big guy? Okay.
Is that... That's not Davos.
That's not Davos. Davos...
Is that the UT or whatever?
No, Lei Kung is the UT.
Okay.
Davos is this guy without an arm.
Yeah.
And then he has cybernetic parts later. For some reason.
I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. I missed that part. I mean, maybe they take a little couple nibbles, get some chi out of him.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, okay, so the thing I don't really understand at all is that there is a portal to Kunlun at the basement of the apartment building that Danny Rand lives in.
Yeah.
And so he jumps down the elevator shaft and he's like, okay, let me go to this like little portal thing that I have. And I'm like, isn't it just like a really big deal to get into Kunlun, you know?
Yeah.
And it might be.
And he's got a fast travel for it.
It might be a continuity thing, like part of the Matt Fraction run.
I'd rather there be like one page showing him traveling, you know?
He is traveling.
To wherever the fuck Kunlun is. Like on a plane.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Like he knows where that thing's going to be.
Yeah.
Through the portal. Yeah. I would prefer that too. But what's interesting about this is that he passes through this like limbo area from the apartment building into Kunlun, and there's like weird demon, like, ninjas in there.
Yeah, don't make it so easy.
That I'm like, what the fuck? But then he does a Kamehameha wave type thing. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's new. I mean, it's cool. I'm down for him to have some Dragon Ball Z like moves, but we never see that again.
They go to the flashback of like the aftermath of the avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the dad's partner or whatever.
Yeah, Harold.
Harold, he's like, he has a rope and he's like, bring it down to him and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, come on, we can make it back down. We have more rations now.
There is a bright side to this. I know your dad just died.
A little soon.
Your husband just died and we could be together now, but we have more rations now too. So it's not all bad.
And then when like the mom is like about to die or whatever, she's like, you need to make this guy pay.
Yeah.
Like Harold or whatever.
That's a lot to put on like a 9-year-old.
I'm like, yeah, dude, he's a kid.
Yeah. That's a lot.
You just told your child to kill a man.
She even says that before she knows she's going to die, by the way. It's like this, and then they get out, and then they're like, oh, fuck, there's wolves. My favorite part about this is that the implication is that these monks that take Danny into Kunlun see his mom get mauled by a bunch of wolves, and they don't step in until the wolves start to cross the bridge.
Yeah.
Because like right after he crosses the bridge, that's when they step in and like cut the bridge. But I'm like, you could have probably helped save the mom too.
Well, he made it to the other side. You have to be on the bridge.
The timing was just like you weren't there already.
Yeah, you could have shot a couple arrows at the wolves.
Yeah.
You know, give it a
helped out a little bit, but it's kind of funny. They just didn't help. Yeah, those are like the main story beats of the origin. And there's a lot of like really traumatic things that happened there, and every origin I've read before this is just like, yep, these are all the things that happened. It sucked.
Anyway.
But not the Iron Fist. Yeah. And so I like that he focuses on that a little bit more because it is kind of a bizarre origin.
Mm-hmm.
So issue 3, in the origin pages, Danny gets the shit beat out of him while he trains with the Thunderer in Kunlun. And then in the present Kunlun, with it being all destroyed and stuff, he goes to see his master Liu Kang has been decapitated, which is a pretty big deal. I don't like that he got killed in this, but whatever. Then he gets angry and he destroys this tree of immortality, and a monk shoots him back to earth because he gets angry that he did that.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, does everybody have chi powers? Because my understanding was like, you're all monks on this immortal land, and then one person gets a chi powers. But it seems like a lot of people have chi powers in this. That's a slightly different interpretation.
He fucking like blasts him or whatever, and he's like, woo, and then like the bright thing is like, ding.
You know? It's like Team Rocketed. It's insane. And then on Earth, the little girl Pei is brought to a hospital, but Davos and a bunch of his henchmen try to attack her. And Danny lands back on Earth in the Himalayas, and he finds the hooded ninja dude, who is actually Danny's dead dad. Or has his face, was what it turns out to be.
I was like, oh shit.
Pretty scary. Pretty scary.
There's a cool panel here where like he's training or whatever. And then there's like a little circle panel that shows like who's in this building and what like and what they're saying.
Yeah.
I just think that's like a super cool way to show like a wide shot and to show like all the characters in it, even though it's not like front facing.
Mm-hmm. Like a little magnifying glass type.
Yeah. It was just neat. I don't see that a lot.
Yeah, you don't.
And the dialogue is kind of funny because when he's like a kid, he's like punching another kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he says growl, but like the word growl is spelled out, but it's nothing about it is making it seem like a sound effect.
Oh, yeah. He just says growl.
He's just like growl. While he's doing this uppercut.
That would confuse me if I was getting punched and a guy said growl.
I'd be like, fine, dude.
But there's also dialogue, like this line that I just thought was kind of cold. One of the monks is like, he says, for an immortal, death is a crop seldom harvested. And I'm like, that's a sick line.
Yeah.
So there's a couple characters in this that I think are from the Immortal Iron Fist run. Because in the hospital, there's a bunch of like identical looking women. A bunch of baddie nurses.
So is that, they look like they were attacking Davos and like
they were defending Pei, who was in the hospital.
Why?
Attacking.
Who are they?
I think they are immortal weapons. So.
Okay.
This is like the Crane Mother's Daughters, I think is the name.
Oh, for sure.
So I think they're defending Pei because Davos is trying to get the egg thing from Pei.
Right.
Who's protecting it. But that's not made very clear. There's also a spider woman who I think could be the Bride of Nine Spiders, which is a sick name. That's from the Immortal Weapons run, but I can't remember if she has spider legs. But this is a spider-esque person.
It looked like spider, like arm. Well, not like actual spiders, but like she had multiple arms like a spider. And there's never like a front-facing shot of her, probably because it'd be too much of a baddie, you know?
Yeah.
They had to hold back.
they had to put her in silhouette. She was too powerful.
Yeah, I felt robbed.
They call Pei Kung Fu Girl most of this book.
Yeah.
And which has got to be a little bit racist because we don't see her do any Kung Fu. So I don't know why they would call her Kung Fu Girl.
She's from the place.
Kung Fu Land, I guess. Yeah.
And then Pei calls Brenda like friend of Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Like just ask her name.
Yeah. You get that. You're adding way too much work. But what's crazy is that Brenda learns her name is Pei and then continues to call her Kung Fu Girl after the fact. And I'm like, you got to chill out with that, Brenda. So everybody's just calling people the wrong names in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And what's annoying is that we never get the name of the dude of like the android thing that has Danny Rand's dad's face on it.
Yeah.
I think I know what they call him or what he's supposed to be called, but I don't know. Anyway, issue 4. We get some extra context to Danny and Brenda's night together. Danny has a nightmare of his mom's like corpse reanimated by a bunch of wolves. And they're like yelling at him, saying like, why'd you look back at me when I was getting mauled by a bunch of werewolves? And then in the present, Danny tries fighting his android dad thing. But both of his fists of iron get shattered and crushed. Which, pretty big deal.
Is it because he's low on chi? Kind of thing.
I don't know. I think he's.
Or was he able to like kind of take some of the chi so he breaks his hands?
No idea. He probably took some chi, if I were to guess.
His dad looks like a manga villain.
It's
like,
definitely a manga villain.
It's super freaky.
Yeah. I think a lot of this is manga inspired because like even that first issue where he's like running down the skyscraper fighting ninjas from helicopters, like he's got a lot of that inspiration.
For sure.
But he doesn't hold back making some of these designs, which is cool.
When his hand, like, you shatters. Know, lights up. Does it get hot? You think?
Yes.
Because his hand's in the snow and it powers up, and then there's like a hissing sound as if like it's sizzling.
I think it's kind of inconsistent, like Cyclops beams.
Okay.
Because like I think you can like hold someone's, I think maybe it's more like a Human Torch thing, because I think he can control how hot he is, because he could like carry people, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's some kind of like that. I don't think it's supposed to be hot. It just glows. But you are right. He does sizzle some snow. Or Carrie Andrews just like doesn't know how it works. I don't know how it works.
Does his hand, when it's like glowing, does it always show like the bones in his hand?
No.
I think that's kind of cool.
That's cool. Well, I think
kind of a Dr. Phosphorus kind of thing.
Yeah, they should have that be like a consistent thing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's... And this is cool because we see his actual, like, wrist and arm and fingers get broken when he tries to punch the android.
It's good for that part,
and
yeah.
And that creates a pretty cool moment.
It should be up to the artist.
Especially the panel after that where, the word balloon is just, like, dot, 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 like, the ellipses.
Yeah.
I think that's a good moment. And then this last panel where he, like, crushes his hand and you see his, like, fingers kind of bending two different directions.
Yeah.
I'm like, oof. That is not good.
His chi is on E.
Yeah, that could be it too. I don't know. They never really... It's up to your interpretation, Daniel.
Sure.
Maybe he's a strong villain. Maybe because Shu Lao died. He's got weak fists.
Isn't it just Shou Lao? Didn't we just look it up?
Sorry, Shou Lao.
Check yourself.
So issue 5. Pei announces herself as a child of Shou Lao. Brenda fights off the spider creature while Pei makes a run for it. Danny gets the shit beat out of him by his android dad. But he is saved by some guy on a sled who happened to be nearby. Pei is running from Davos and his men, and she falls, and then an egg falls out of her bag, which cracks, and it reveals to be Shou Lao, like reborn, I guess, like the new generation Shou Lao.
Yeah.
That's a fun reveal. I never really understood how the dragon gets reincarnated. It always seems like he's full size. But I guess he comes from like a little egg. But what I'm confused about that too is that when Shou Lao was alive in like the second issue, the egg was also there.
Maybe they lay their own egg, their own like reincarnation kind of thing.
Yeah, that could be it. And then when they die, they just, the soul or whatever goes into the egg or something like that.
And then it's like ready to hatch or whatever.
I could get down with that.
So Brenda's fighting this like spider lady
and
is like confidently like ripping her arms off.
Yeah, she's got some good moves.
Like as soon as she gets her on the ground, she starts actively trying to rip her arms off, and I'm like, how'd you know that would work? You know,
I think there's more to her than what she originally lets on, because in the first page of the next issue she's preparing for the date and she has like a gun and shit already, so I think she's some sort of agent. So she's got some moves already,
right?
I'm not sure how Pei is like a daughter or a child of Shou Lao, or if everybody says they're a child of Shou Lao.
It's probably just someone in Kunlun.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. It's revealed that there's this like crazy double page spread of, you just see like the whole android and all the little bits and pieces. But what doesn't really have much attention to is, I think that this is Lei Kung, like the UT. And Danny's master. And I feel like if that is the case, then that should have had a little bit more attention brought to it, because it's kind of a fucking crazy detail.
I think it's just kind of showing that it can take people's faces and it's really not his dad, you know?
Well, yeah.
But it's just a cool, like, spread.
Yeah, it is crazy. That's some Elden Ring shit. And then issue 6, it's revealed that Brenda is some sort of agent that planned the one night stand with Danny. The newly
hatched... Is she, or is she just like a really good reporter who's prepared?
Maybe she brought a gun for her reporting. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the newly hatched dragon gets taken by Davos. He's like slammed into the wall at one point, which I think is kind of a funny panel.
The dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Danny's taken to a cave in the Himalayas, and it turns out that Sparrow, which is his like Kunlun childhood friend, and some old guy named the Fu are the ones that saved him. And while unconscious, Danny dreams about his mom having an affair with Harold as part of like the origin. And then when he wakes up, he sees that Sparrow had her eyes taken out by Davos. But she still like motivates him. I think they fuck. And he's ready to get back up and continue the fight.
Something gets back up.
So, and then we see Davos is partnered with that android monster thing and is trying to make New York the new Kunlun, which I think is a fun idea.
So Sparrow like sees him or is there and she's like, "You look good." I'm like, "What do you mean?"
Yeah. She says, "You look good." And then literally the next page, she's like, "Oh, I don't have eyes, by the way." Yeah. And I'm like, "What did you mean by you look good?"
A very empty compliment. You say that to everybody?
Yeah. That was such a bizarre thing. I noticed that immediately too.
Yeah.
Also, they bandage him up like kind of all over his body, but they don't cover like his dick.
His dick's not injured.
His dick's not injured, I guess. Yeah. But then when he like gets up, he has to like kind of cover himself.
Look at the calves on this guy.
He's got some crazy calves.
That's nuts.
Look at his shoulders.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. Also, the last thing that we see Danny Rand, the Iron Fist, say in this book is, "Let's do some kung fu." And I think that that's pretty funny.
So Davos is chasing after Pei. Mm-hmm. And Brenda's there with like this detective named Lee.
Yeah.
And Lee's got like all of his like, you know, officers with them.
Mm-hmm.
They all get like burnt to a crisp, like to their like skeletons.
Yep.
And he's like, "Oh no, they're all dead," or whatever. And he's like, "Get up, Lee, stop crying." Like, all of his like, everybody, his men have been brutally killed.
All his coworkers.
He's like, "Get over it."
He probably goes to birthday parties and shit.
Yeah, knows their kids.
Knows their kids. "Get up, Lee, stop crying." In the same panel too. I didn't even.
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Davos has like some cybernetic powers that he probably got from this android thing. I don't know.
There's only one more trade after this, so yep. You could find out more.
Power through it if you want. I probably won't.
But, so, back matter matters?
Yep.
Back matter matters.
Got covers.
Variant covers.
Yep.
Good old Scotty Young variant.
Mm-hmm. That's a fun one. There's a very interesting Mike Del Mundo one where there's the
animal variant.
Oh, okay. So this is like a thing.
Where he's like a
praying mantis.
Praying mantis. Which is fun.
That is fun. He does also still have the tattoo on the chest.
Oh. If there's one of these, there's got to be more, and I'd like to see those.
Yeah. Why were they doing animal variants?
Yeah.
Marvel's like, "I don't know, pick some."
Is it J.G. Jones one? It's pretty good.
Yeah, that one's great. He's awesome. And then there's a little like statement thing. And you can tell that he doesn't really have any connection to Iron Fist. And what he says is that he read some comic that was written, drawn, and everything by Jim Steranko for Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he's like, "I want to do a book like that." Mm. But he doesn't say anything about Iron Fist in it. So I think that was just his goal, is he wanted to do something like some crazy shit.
Sure.
So he definitely did do some crazy shit.
So what do you rate this, Nathan?
I'll give it a love it. But of like an ice cream flavor I don't normally get, but I tried once.
Okay.
I don't know what that would be. Like a sherbet or something, maybe.
Sure.
Because what I appreciate more of it now is the art style and how crazy it is. Because he was taking some big swings, which I can appreciate in a comic.
Yeah, it's
I like that better, like way better than them just trying to like stick to what Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker were doing, but just like less good.
Yeah, it's like stylized, which I think I prefer over like the, you know, Marvel standard or whatever.
Yeah, but there's still parts of it that for Iron Fist as a character, I just like in other books. So
sure.
Yeah, I would give it something like that. Is there a yellow ice cream?
Like a lemon thing, maybe?
I'll do it a lemon ice cream. Or maybe
a banana, I guess.
Nah. I'll stick with sherbet. What would you rate it?
I'd give it like a like it of mint chocolate chip.
Okay.
Since that's like your favorite.
Yeah.
You know? I like mint chocolate chip. It's just never something I buy, really.
Really?
But I like recognize it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair enough.
What do you think is rated on League of Comic Geeks?
Ooh. This would be a hard one. I don't think it's in the fours. I don't even know if it's in the high threes, but I'll give it a 3.6, I think is what they're rating it.
Got a 3.8.
Okay.
Which seems valid.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
I would probably...
Like 3.8, it's like readable, yeah. You know, and like some people probably like this a lot, mm-hmm. You know, but...
Yeah, they took a swing or whatever.
I don't think you have to be in the forest to be like those kind of like definitive kind of runs, you mm-hmm. know? So,
yeah, not bad at all.
So let's get into the pull list. Colin,
shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
You went to the shop before coming here. What'd you get?
Dude, I can't even remember all I got. I got Absolute Batman 14, Absolute Wonder Woman 14. I don't know why I bought Absolute Batman 14, to be honest, because I don't have the last five issues.
Yeah.
So I'll have to like read those digitally. I bought those. I bought...
Did you get the Punisher number 2?
I didn't, because I was picking up a lot of stuff.
Okay.
So I picked up Green Lantern. I picked up the Gabriel Hardman Batman Question and Green Arrow book.
Arcadia. Yeah. Cool.
And then I bought Sophie 2 issues. She's got the Berserker and the Devil on My Shoulder, I think is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm missing one. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
For sure. There's a new book, and it's Daredevil Punisher, The Devil's Trigger.
I did see that.
Yeah, I might check that out.
It looks fun.
I'm not sure who's on it, but I like that team up, mm-hmm. you know? And then I think the Spawn Christmas book, I Saw Santa.
I did see that.
Comes out, so I'll probably get that to see what it's about.
Yeah, looks fun.
I think I ordered it, but I'm not sure if I ordered the second one.
Mm.
But it's just like a...
Like I Saw Santa?
Two-issue thing, yeah.
Oh, is it only 2 issues?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Maybe they're like oversized or something, but...
Yeah.
Did you read anything?
I did. I read Undead Iron Fist number 2. Because we're in the Iron Fist week, and I'm like, let me see.
That's the newest thing?
Yeah, that's the most recent one, I think.
Okay.
That book's not very good, because I don't really know what's going on. Well, I understand what they're doing, but I'm just not super interested. Daredevil's in this, which is kind of fun, but I don't know. Issue 3, though, they tease Fat Cobra.
Ooh!
And I'm like, fuck, they got me. So I'm going to get number 3. You got to see Fat Cobra.
Yeah,
it was one of the immortal weapons. So yeah, we'll
such
see.
A top tier, like
just random ass character.
I don't even know if it's a villain necessarily, but like side character.
Yeah, side character. So I think like they're gonna be bringing back a lot of the immortal weapons. So like the Bride of Nine Spiders, I think is gonna be in it, and the other person that was in this book.
Yeah.
So I'll check it out. I'll have a look.
Yeah.
Have a look. Of course, we'll have a look.
Of course.
And then I read the Batman Deadpool DC Marvel crossover.
Nice.
Did you read that or no?
No, I haven't been in the shop in like weeks.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully the stuff that I didn't order will still be there, but mm-hmm.
it's good.
Yeah.
It's Grant Morrison,
Dan Mora.
Yeah.
And then
they're both kind of operating at their peak, I think.
Hmm.
It's like pretty crazy Grant Morrison meta stuff going on, which I think is like really entertaining. And he actually does a pretty solid Deadpool, which I was kind of surprised by.
He's really wanted to do, like, the movie.
He wanted to, like, write the movie?
He wanted to make Deadpool like Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I would say that's somewhat close to that.
Mm-hmm.
Less, I don't think there was really much crassness, but some of the energy, I guess, is there.
Sure.
It's fun interactions with Batman. And
does it continue the first part?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Well, there's no, like, it feels you could read it separately. Like they referenced some of the Joker stuff that was going on, but this feels like entirely kind of on its own.
Okay.
And then some of the team up stories were just, they were fine. There's less of them, so there's more space for them. So there's like a Constantine Doctor Strange one that was drawn by Hayden Sherman,
right,
which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So I enjoyed those. They were fun.
Cool.
But the rest of the stuff that I read was gearing up for Civil War.
Nice.
Our 300th episode.
I read Undeadpool.
Nice.
Which is that Age of Revelation, like, Italian kind of book. It's okay. I'm not going to keep going with it, but...
Yeah.
Deadpool, I guess there's some sort of, like, mutant virus thing that's going on. Mm. And it killed a lot of mutants, including Deadpool. But because of his, like, healing factor, he's, like, a zombie.
Oh.
You know, which I thought was neat.
That's fun.
He's like,
was like a Terrigen Mist thing?
I don't know, dude. It's a virus.
Okay.
It's like COVID.
Because I think that was the idea of the Terrigen Mist when those were floating around. They would kill, like, mutants.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's it, though.
Okay.
But he's, like, chasing after, like, this New Warriors team with just, like, a bunch of random characters.
Cool.
One of the characters is Kid Man-Thing, which I thought was funny.
Kid Man-Thing.
Yeah, I was like, hell
that's,
yeah.
That's the three nouns.
It's Man-Thing, but like a kid version, I guess. Or there's like a, maybe it's like a legacy character.
Yeah.
But that's funny.
That's funny. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I could pull it out if you wanted to. But I read Absolute Martian Manhunter, number 5 and 6.
Cool.
So I'm all caught up on that. 7 comes out on like Christmas Eve.
Nice.
I finished Twig. So
oh, cool.
3, 4, and 5. That's a really like swift book. Like if you're behind on issues, it's a good one because you can knock out each issue in like 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun. It said like on the last page, like Twig will return, but that was like 2 years ago.
He's a busy guy.
Busy guy. I mean, he's not drawing it though.
Still busy guy.
Still busy guy. And I was picking up like the Scotty Young variants, I think just out of habit.
Yeah.
But the issue 5 variant that I got, I didn't realize was a Peach Momoko variant.
Ooh.
And it's pretty cool. You want to see it?
Yeah.
It's definitely not what you expect from like this kid's book, but.
What the fuck? God, Peach Momoko is so good.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I saw in the solicitations for February that it's going to be like the last Ultimate X-Men issue.
24?
Yeah, 24.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn.
And then February? Oh, yeah, February solicitations came out. Cuckoo. And then I read I Hate Fairyland, number 21 and 22, which is like 1 and 2 of the second run. But they like basically end up renumbering it. So it's basically 21 and 22, you know? So there's some...
That's like the rebooted one?
That's the rebooted one, yeah.
The original I Hate Fairyland run was 20 issues?
Yeah, and then the second run is also 20 issues. And then they brought it back recently, and those are like 41 and 42.
So. Oh, okay.
And I like bought all of them, you know, just kind of losing track of them.
Yeah.
But I have them all, so I'm going to go through those.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize there were so many.
Yeah, it's just a big chunk of a book that I was buying, and it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Gertrude's like, you know, not doing well in the real world. I've read the first one before, but... And she's hired by this tech billionaire to find like his son in Fairyland. But then she immediately calls out like, you're clearly a villain. So what do you actually want me to go there for?
Yeah.
He's like, yes, I want you to get my son. But he wants to make like Fairyland like a theme world, like theme park, but a theme world.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, but I want half. And so she's like, she's totally down for it as long as she gets money. And I think it's fun.
That's a businesswoman.
Definitely. And in order, you can't just get back into Fairyland and you go into a place called like the Inferno, which is like hell there.
Mm.
And you have to get through hell. And she thought it was going to be a quick trip, but the last page is like 3 years later and she's like still in hell. And so.
He's having fun with that book. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. And I think his... name's like Brett Bean or something is the artist, and he does like really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's like doing like a Scotty Young impression in a way, but it's still like
this is the one that
someone else
came out and it was like originally called like Fuck Fairyland, or there was like a variant called Fuck Fairyland, right?
There's a couple of those, yeah.
Okay, so I read like the first two, I think, issues of that,
right? Yeah,
and I remember Brett Bean, yeah, being pretty on point.
Yeah. They just had like variants, I would say, Fuck Fairyland on it.
Mm.
But yeah, what'd you watch?
I watched two movies on your Letterboxd list for me.
Whoa.
I watched Totally Killer.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I needed something to watch, but I kind of wanted to pay attention.
Did Sophia watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, what did you guys think?
It was a good time. It was just an interesting blend of two genres.
I love a horror comedy. So
horror
comedies
are fun.
So I'm always just kind of like, someone else needs to watch this.
It's like a horror comedy, but also sci-fi.
Yeah.
So there's so many genres kind of thrown in.
I'm all about it.
And so I'm just like, I've never seen a movie like this. So that's fun. I've seen a bunch of movies that are kind of like this. So just kind of like an amalgamation of those.
It's definitely like a lot of like Back to the Future, you know?
Yeah. So I enjoyed it. There's definitely the tropes of like people making dumb decisions or whatever in there. There's a lot of kind of corniness that I think pays off in a way.
Uh-huh.
In it, because it's just like people acting like bratty 80s high schoolers.
Yeah, she goes like goes back in time and figures out her mom's a bitch.
Yeah. Like a huge bitch. And they're like definitely not friends.
Right.
And yeah, there's just like some fun stuff that goes on in there. So I enjoyed it.
I was like, your friend just so happens to be building a time machine, you know?
Yeah. The way that like the time machine is also a functioning photo booth.
Yeah.
She like goes back in time and then the photos like come out. And I'm like, oh, okay. Multi-purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I thought it was crazy that like in this town, they like kind of celebrate the local serial killer.
Yeah.
And then everyone's got like masks of them. There's like a that's
themed,
fucked up.
There's a themed restaurant.
Yeah.
And there's a guy whose job is just podcasting about it. That is a kind of funny character because spoilers, I guess, but he ends up being the killer because he needs more content.
did you guess that?
No. Well, he's the first character you see, and so I thought it was too obvious for it to be him.
Impossible to predict.
It was kind of tough because there's a point where like the mom gets murdered. I mean, that's like the whole point.
She's yeah, that's that. Like a fucking fight scene, which is really sick. She like kind of holds her own.
Yeah, she's been preparing for this, which I think is kind of a funny twist.
She's been taking like self-defense classes.
There's like guns fucking around her house in the kitchen. I'm like, this is sick. But there's a point where he like leaves through the front door and then like somehow comes in through the back. And I'm like, oh, it's the dad because he's got like keys or whatever to get in. So that's what I was kind of thinking the whole time, but it ends up being the original. There's like two killers. It's the original one that they time travel back to and then the new one who's a copycat. So yeah. That's kind of a fun little twist too. What was the fucking spinning attraction at the end? That's what they have to make the time travel machine.
Yeah.
Out of, right.
To go back.
Because they don't have the whatever technology. That fight scene's kind of funny because he does the thing that I've always wanted to do in those spinning things where he like stands on it.
Yeah, which seems impossible.
That would be so hard. Also, I'd be throwing up. It's like I'm getting murdered. I'm trying to move in this thing and I'm throwing up.
Yeah, if I'm use getting... it to just puke on the guy.
Yeah, I'd use it as a defense.
I like how like there's like a string of murders and she's like, from what she knows from this podcast or whatever, she's like, trying to stop the murders like before they happen.
Yeah.
No, that was like a fun.
No,
like,
what's fun about that is that she remembers the order that the murders are supposed to happen in into who, but because she like butterfly affects it a little bit, the murders are like out of place. So she can't like predict when and where it's going to happen.
Right.
Into who. And I like that.
And then they just call that like a mandala effect.
Yeah. That was kind of like, funny.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I was like, that's good. So they, there's kind of, fun sci-fi concepts. Like apparently time is still moving kind of in the present as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of complicated ideas sometimes,
like,
but
I remember she's like using her phone in that.
Oh,
like
yeah.
What this phone's battery is insane, you know?
Hey, my battery lasts for a long time if it's not connected to like Wi-Fi or anything, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
They go back in time and you know, you got no service. So.
Right. That was one that was on that list where I'm like, he might not like this, you know, but I think it's fun.
I like a big swing.
It was Amazon Prime original.
Is it really?
Yeah, it was like straight to Prime.
I can see why movies like that aren't happening all the time, but this one's just kind of fun. Like where there's just like four genres, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was good. I liked it. And then I also watched Bugonia.
Ooh.
In theaters.
What'd you think?
This movie's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you were really excited about it. You say it's top five. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty big deal. And then Serena also said that she watched it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a big deal. And so I just randomly brought it up that we should go see it on like Sunday night.
Nice.
I was a little worried because I know Yorgos is kind of a weird dude with some of his movies.
Yeah.
Like Lobster and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wasn't sure where it was going to go. But this one seems kind of tame.
Yeah.
I think for
as,
what he...
As far as his weirdness goes.
Yeah, as far as his like reputation for movies goes. But I think it was... really well made, really well acted, kind of a fun idea.
Yeah.
In general. And, you know, the idea is that there's a person that kidnaps a CEO thinking that she's an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO is Emma Stone in this. And he just tries to interrogate her to get to like the mothership that she's from or whatever. And it's just crazy. I like kind of how the tension sort of builds and
super fucking tense.
Yeah. And then there's like a point where shit starts to hit the fan and then it just like doesn't stop from there.
Yeah.
And that part is like where I really start to lock in. Cause up until that point, I'm like, this is a fun sort of thing.
Yeah. I thought like big, Sarah probably hates this. Yeah.
And then that big moment happens. And I'm like, oh, you know, so spoilers for this, I guess. But that point where little bro.
Yeah.
Little cuz like blows his head off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Jesus Christ. She's like 5 feet away from him when she blows his head off and she gets drenched with yeah. blood. I'm like, he had a juicy head.
That was gross. That. And she had like crawl and like get keys off.
Yeah, get the keys with her, yeah, with her broken leg. There's a lot. Yeah. Like as soon as that happens, there's so many things that happen like back to back to back that I think are just so like tense. Because he kills really the police officer with like the bees and stuff. Mm. That was a fun scene. And then she convinces him that antifreeze is like a solution for his mom's coma.
Yeah.
So he goes to the hospital, kills her mom. Basically, I don't know. It's all crazy shit. And what I was impressed by is that obviously she's going to be an alien. I feel like.
Is it obvious?
It was.
No fucking way.
Well, when I'm walking and I'm like, he's probably right. When I'm walking, like when I understand, like, you know, I'm kind of in the middle of the like first act. I'm like, he's probably just going to be right. And then you go through the movie and I'm like,
you know, like this guy's clearly insane.
I'm like, he is insane.
He's got plenty of trauma. You know?
Tons of trauma. Tons of just like stuff. He's like chemically castrated himself and stuff like that. So he's not super right in the head. He's got a reason to sort of hate this particular CEO because he works for her. And something happened where mom was put into a coma from something that happened there. And he likes bees and she fucked up some bees, I guess. So I'm like, okay, it's probably not. But you go back and forth so many times in this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes she like really locks in to pretending to be an alien. And I'm like, damn. I wouldn't have been able to improv that in this situation, you know what I mean?
When she finds like his like room.
Yeah.
I was like, oh fuck, this guy's.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, he's done it multiple times. He's not an alien.
He's like chopped up like 15 people or something. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
But then he comes back and she pretends to be the commander, or she is the commander, so she just like is up front with him, I guess.
Mm.
But I thought in my head she's pretending and she just like studied up on like his little notebook that he had written stuff down on.
Yeah, so it's like it's really impossible to know, yeah. You know,
because she could have just like really captured some information before he gets back, which is what I thought happened. And I'm like, damn, she really read up on what his shit was going on, and then put on this like stellar performance. And that thing, yeah, she's actually an alien, and all the aliens wear really comfy looking sweaters, and I want one of them.
I liked all the stuff in the closet, you know, where he just fucking blows up.
I like,
because I was like, how did that happen? Like, how did it blow up, you know? But then it's kind of explained that like homemade bombs are kind of sketchy, you know?
So I think the act of actually teleporting blew it up. I think she actually tried.
The EMT made it seem like
that's what the EMT like says, and that's probably a thing that happens.
Yeah,
but I think like if you're gonna get zapped and you have homemade explosives, it probably just like blows you up.
You think that would like damage the teleporter thing?
Yeah,
you know. But
yeah, that's a good point. But we don't really know what this teleporter is. I think it's funny that the calculator and all that was like actually part of it. It seems like she's just kind of like make something up to like buy time,
right?
And so she's like, yeah, I got a this really long like 50 numbers I got to type in.
Yeah. And then the most death in a movie probably ever.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I didn't understand. One, it's hilarious that the Earth is flat, by the way. I thought that was just like the dude's interpretation of the Earth because he's kind of in the sauce, it's conspiracies. But then it's like real. So she pops the bubble, the dome.
Yeah.
And then everybody's dead, but not animals. Did you understand why?
Because
I thought it was just like, at first I'm like, oh, they like broke the atmosphere and like this vacuum of space took away all the oxygen or whatever, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, I didn't think about it too hard.
I think they like explained like what it was, but at the time I thought that she wasn't an alien, so I wasn't really paying attention to the details of like the alien stuff.
Yeah,
so that I think this would be a good rewatch movie now that you know
definitely
that she's like a commander alien.
I love that he like nailed the spaceship.
He nailed the spaceship. He nailed the hair communication. Like he got so many things right. I'm like, damn, he's kind of locked in for this.
Yeah.
And now I feel stupid because I was like, the cousin could see through all this bullshit.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't bullshit.
Yeah, I had a really good time at it. I think it's really good.
Really fun. Just
it's definitely underseen. Were there anyone?
Even if it wasn't alien, it was a fun concept.
Is that pretty empty theater?
No, it was packed.
Really?
It was like a late Sunday showing.
That's so surprising.
There was somebody next to me texting the whole time.
Fuck, that's stupid.
I think it was a solo viewer.
Emma Stone actually like shaved her head for this.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because you only get one shot to film that, you know?
Oh, the actual like shaving?
Yeah.
I'm sure if they messed up, they could get like a wig or something.
Try it again. I don't know how.
But you'd want it to be the shot where you get your head shaved. You
know? Yeah. Make it worth it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, super fun.
And best. Is it Jesse Plemons?
Yeah.
Yeah. Best performance from him. Because he's
right up there with Game Night. And like Breaking Bad or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good in this. Especially like at the very end when he's just like really distressed and he like just killed his mom and he's biking on the way back and he's like crying while he's biking.
Yeah.
And then talking to like Emma Stone with a shotgun and saying like there's a lot of really like distressed performance from him.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I thought it was just gonna be sort of like monotone the whole time.
Yeah.
Which makes sense for that character. But yeah, towards the end he's really good.
Yeah, big fan.
What'd you watch?
So you should watch Poor Things now.
Okay.
I watched True Grit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, cool.
Have you seen it?
No.
Probably not. Good movie. I like that one a lot. I was like, it's on Netflix or something. So I was just kind of watching like the easily accessible ones.
Yeah.
You know, the ones I didn't have to like rent.
Like the Coen Brothers movies?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one's better in my second watch because I think I watched it like 5 years ago or something.
Mm.
Maybe more.
Who's in this?
It's got, I think it's like Haley Steinfeld's first movie. She's like a kid in it. Yeah. She's like super young in it. Matt Damon's in it. Jeff Bridges.
Oh, cool.
Thanos.
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin's in it.
Is Jeff Bridges in a lot of those Coen Brothers movies?
He's just in two.
Okay.
And two bangers. Two like all-time performances from Jeff Bridges.
Really?
Yeah. He's super funny in this one. But he like is like a drunk like sheriff or something, or like bounty hunter kind of thing. And so he like mumbles like a shit ton.
Mm.
And that's probably why I didn't like it as much the first time around, because I had no idea what he was saying. But I had subtitles.
Nice.
Like I knew for everything.
Clutch.
And super clutch. Yeah, it's like based off of like a book, and so it's just written really well. So
nice,
big fan. Then I watched Eddington, the new Ari Aster movie.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even really planning on watching this, but it was like on HBO, and
yeah, so, kind of a polarizing movie, just from what I could tell. Like some people love it, some people hate it.
Yeah, when I started watching this, I'm like, I don't think people like this, you know, and the Rotten Tomatoes is like 65.
Really?
That seems a little harsh. It is like 2.5 hours long. But like the first half is like a little slow, but if you get through that, you're like kind of rewarded with the second half, you know, because it really fucking pops off in the second half and it is a ton of fun.
Cool.
It's super tense.
Does it feel like an Ari Aster movie?
In the sense that you feel like uncomfy.
Oh, okay.
In
that's good.
Ways.
Yeah.
That I think that's kind of his
domain.
His signature kind of thing, you know? And that's like how it feels like it. It kind of feels a little PTA-esque. But I think
PTA?
It's good. Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, okay.
But it's like a movie set in like 2020, you know, so you're brought back to that.
Great year that everybody wants to remember.
Yeah, it's not like a feel good movie or anything. Yeah. But yeah, it was better than I thought. And it's just a big satire, you know? And mm-hmm. So you get, once you kind of recognize that, then it's a little less dumb.
Yeah.
You know? But.
Did you watch the Beau Is Afraid?
No. I feel like I'll get to that eventually.
Yeah.
But I'm not necessarily like looking forward to it, you know?
Yeah. That's fair.
It's got to just be streaming at a time where I like give up on scrolling or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like it's like a good movie, but I wouldn't recommend it to people.
Yeah.
Just because I put a lot of weight behind my recommendations because I actually think people will like a thing, you know? But anyway, what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
What's on the docket? Do we have anything?
Kind of. The new Rian Johnson movie, Wake Up Dead Man, is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
We could do a Dead Man comic.
I'm down for a Dead Man comic. We need some DC.
We do need some help on DC. Some DC numbers. Dead Man's kind of hard finding a book for.
He's got a few, doesn't he?
There's like a few, but there's not like a definitive run, you know?
Right.
There was a book that I bought as it was coming out. It was like a DC Presents Dead Man.
Uh-huh.
And that's collected with like a Challengers of the Unknown issues.
Mm.
And I hear that's pretty good. There's also like a Batman / Dead Man story by James Robinson.
That seems fun.
Which would be an option.
Have we done? Well, there's a Kelly Jones Dead Man.
That's also something that I saw.
I like Kelly Jones.
Kelly Jones is good.
How long is that one?
So that one is collected kind of weird. The only collection I saw was Dead Man by Kelly Jones, which is long, but there's like these miniseries that are in them.
Oh,
really? Are two issues. There's Dead Man Love After Death and then Dead Man Exorcism.
Mm.
So we could
just do like the...
Just those two, you know?
But those are all by Kelly Jones? So we'd skip like that first one?
Yeah, there's...
Dead Man Action Comics Weekly?
Yeah, there's a bunch of Action Comics ones. Those are like 8-pagers and stuff.
Mm.
So we could skip those and just go straight to the full issues if you wanted.
Mm, doesn't seem very coherent.
Yeah. But, you know. Was I collecting this? This
is like New 52.
It says that they're coming out in like 2011.
Did Dan DiDio write one of these?
I think he wrote... Challenges of the Unknown.
Oh, okay.
Or we can just do like a random pick, you know?
No, I like a Dead Man. I just want to make sure it's a solid one.
There's also this one Dead Man one that was... Wait, maybe this is the one I was getting. It's called Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. Came out in like 2016.
It's a sick name.
It's a 3-issue by Sarah Vaughn. Art by Lan Medina. I don't know if you recognize this cover.
Oh, that looks fun.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of like a horror romance kind of thing.
You pick. I'll do any of those. I'll do the Kelly Jones one too if we do the back two ones.
So on Reddit,
okay,
the only one that people were like liking is that DC Presents one.
Okay, let's do that one.
Okay. But we won't read the Challenges of the Unknown, just the Dead Man stuff. So.
Cool.
DC
Presents Dead Man.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Tell us. What are we reading? Oh, Iron Fist.
What's your favorite Iron Fist?
What's your favorite Iron Fist? Should we read more Iron Fist or do we get it all?
I think that's it. No more Iron Fist, I think, for the history of the show.
Such a bold statement.
Unless some crazy shit comes out, but that's all I think we hit the peaks.
Yeah,
Immortal Weapons, though, that was its own series.
Yeah, okay.
I had fun with that. There's Fat Cobra in there, too.
Ooh, he got me interested.
Yeah.
All right. TrevorSpot@gmail.com. And goodbye.
See ya.